Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the top of Daf Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph, we notice in our margin a nosei, a topic heading. In our Shas Ozer Gemara Markings edition, we attempt to offer introductions or synopses of the Gemara that we are about to learn. These synopses can also be used as a quick review of the sugya. Noticing the nosei, the topic heading, in the outside margin, we've written in Nisoyoin Lahovi Siyua Lidivrei Ula, an attempt to bring a support to the teaching of Ula, Debia Bemiktsas Shmo Bia, that partial entrance to the Azora, the temple courtyard, constitutes full-fledged entrance. Even though the individual, and we're talking of course about someone who was tomei, a tomei individual, a ritually impure person, is prohibited from entering the temple courtyard, and if he does, he incurs a penalty of kores. Ula, in the name of Reish Lakish on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, taught that partial entrance is tantamount to full entrance. That's what we mean by bia b'miksas, shmo bia. And our Gemara here will try to bring proof to that idea, or support to that idea, mehadin shel osham mitzora, from the halacha concerning the mitzora sacrifice that is brought on the eighth day of his tahara period, a korban osham, shelo hoyu soimchen yodayim olav. From the fact that, as opposed to many other kinds of personal sacrifices that require the placing of the hands on the animal's head, where the owner places his hands on the animal's head, in the case of an Osham Mitzora, that was not done. As the sugya unfolds, we will also notice numerous markings. In this case, we'll see triangles that appear in alternating directions. We've included on the side under our Mivneh heading. Mivneh represents the structural note. In our marking edition, in our Gemara markings, we attempt to explain, as each sugya appears, what the markings in that sugya will be doing. So in this case, the triangle represents a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Where the triangle point is facing up in this sugya, this will represent a support to Ula. With the triangle inverted, we will reject the attempted support. Turning to the Gemara. Lema Messiah Le. Let us suggest the following is a support to Ula's teaching that partial entrance is considered full-fledged entrance. That Bia B'miksas Shmo Bia. We also have labeled this a question because Lema is basically a question. Can we bring support to Ula from the following Tanaic source? And it is a long question. This is illustrated by the shin that you see encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. All of the lines of Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line represent the question. So we have a source that begins, Kol hasmichos shehoyu sham, all the placing of hands that were done on korbanos, korei alehen ani, we refer to them the following principle, takef lesmicha shchita, that immediately after the placing of the hands, the slaughtering is expected to take place. Chutz mizu, with the exception of this case, the case of the Osham Mitzora, Shehoisa Bishar Nikanor, that took place, that where the Mitzora was standing in the gate of the gate entering the Azor, the eastern gate to the Azor was called, the eastern entranceway was called Shar Nikanor. In the case of the Osha Mitzora, the smicha was not done. She'ein Mitzora yochol likones l'sham ad shemazin olov midam chatoso umidam ashamo. The Mitzora cannot cannot place his hands in the Azora until he is ready to receive the blood of the Osham offering, and the sprinkling of the Dam Chatos takes place. That, of course, takes place after the animal is slaughtered. In other words, he's not ready to receive his purification until after the animal is already slaughtered. Ve'i amris bio b'miktsas lo shmo bio. If it were so that partial entrance to the Azora is not considered entrance, let's just point out before we go any further in the Gemara that it's taken as an obvious point that the shechita of the animal was done in the Azora. That's a given. Now, if partial entrance is not considered full entrance, why should the Osha Mitzora not also have smicha done to it? Lael yodei v'lismoch. Let him put his hands into the Azora, place his hands on the animal's head, and immediately after that, do the shechita. So you would accomplish, you would be able to have tekef l'smicha shechita by the Osha Mitzora as well, and you would have no problem of a tomei entering the Azora, because he extends merely his hands into the Azora. Now, the fact is that we don't say all of that. The fact that we don't do this, the fact that the Osha Mitzora does not have smicha, this indicates to us that there must be a problem in that suggestion. And the problem being, bio b'miktsas, shmei bio. That would be a support to Ula's teaching. Once again, the absence of smicha on the Osha Mitzora would be a function of bia b'miktsas shmei bia. At this point, the triangle inverts, and we call this a dechia, rejection. We're also assigning a Roman numeral number 1 to this comment of Rav Yosef. If you notice a few lines later, there is a squiggle underline expression, ikar d'amri, and a Roman numeral number 2 opposite that line. Before we read the Gemara, let's take a look at what we have by way of notation under our Mivneh heading. You'll see featured on the side of the Gemara a Roman numeral 1 and 2, and we've described it as Beis Lashonos, two versions, B'divrei of Yosef, Shebohem hu doiche es hasiwa le'ula, She'omar bio b'miktsas shmo bio, where Rav Yosef will reject the support that was brought for Ula, who had said bio b'miktsas shmo bio. So, at this point, we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. Ha money, the source involving the Osha Mitzora that did not receive smicha. Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, he. The Omar Meruchok Tzofoin. We have learned earlier in this Masichta that the definition of Tzofon is the area of the Azora in which Kotche Kotchim, high-level sanctity korbonas are processed, are slaughtered, etc. Tzofon is not merely a direction. Tzofon, in translation, is north. However, there are different opinions of Tanoim concerning what is defined as the legal north. The legal north of the Azora, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbeinu, is one of three opinions. He is the most restrictive opinion. He says it's the area of the Azora that is directly opposite the northern side of the Mizbeach. The distance, however, from the Shar Nikanor, where the Mitzora is standing, and legal north, according to Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, the distance is great. It's at least 22 amos. There were 11 amos for the Ezras Yisrael, and then there were another 11 Amos for the Ezras Kohanim, beyond which was the Mizbeach. So you have to go from the Shaar Nicanor a minimum of 22 Amos into the Azorah to get to the point at which the Korban Osham of the Mitzorah was going to be slaughtered. Therefore, with the smicha that the Osham of the Mitzorah would need by the owner, namely the Mitzorah, B'Shmini Shelo, would be impossible. He would, in order to have Tekef L'Smicha Shchita, you would have to have the owner, the Mitzorah, that is, going to the all the way into the Azara, and that's totally impossible before he receives his Tara, namely the blood applications. So that, according to Rav Yosef, if you are focusing on this Mitzorah, Osha Mitzorah source, I don't see from here that Bia B'miksas Shma Bia. It might very well be that Bia B'miksas Lo Shma Bia. However, I'm not going to gain anything by having the smicha done on the head of the animal while standing in the Shaar Nicanor and then lugging the animal over to the legal tzafon as defined by Rabbi Yossi Berbuda, which is far away. I wouldn't accomplish tekef l'smicha shchita. Therefore, the source says that in general there's a rule of tekef l'smicha shchita, with the exception of the case of the Osha Metzora. In the case of the Osha Metzora, I cannot mekayim tekef l'smicha shchita, because the smicha would take place at one point, the entrance to the Azara, and the Shchita would be taking place 22 Amos away, which by virtue of the distance, does not allow me to fulfill the Tekef. Tekef means immediate, the immediacy of the Shchita following the Smicha. The Gemara asks, even if you say that there's a restricted legal north, why couldn't I still accomplish tekef l'smicha shchita? Certainly, according to what Rav Yosef is saying, that bia b'miksas lo shmo bia, why not v'levid pishpish, make a little opening in the northern wall of the Azora, opposite the point at which the Mizbeach is located. The animal would be standing there in anticipation of its slaughtering, and through this little hole the Mitzora would be able to extend his hands and do smicha, and they would do shchita immediately because the animal's already positioned at that point opposite the Mizbeach. But we don't do that. So why is it that we don't do that? It must be because Bia B'miksas is a problem, that I wouldn't be able to do it because of the partial extension. So once again, we come to supporting Ula. Hence, you can see the triangle has the point facing up. But the Gemara goes on. The triangle flips around. Abaye Varova, the Amri Chavayu. That isn't a suggestion in the first place. This idea of making a new small entrance. The structure of the Beis HaMikdash and all of its gateways and openings, all of these things were dictated by prophetic communication. The Pasuk says, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil Kol Melechas HaTavnis. The gist of the Pasuk is that the entire structure was dictated through divine communication, and that did not include making little openings in northern walls, in the northern wall of the Azora. Iko di Amri. This is a second version. In our marking system, we generally use a squiggle underline when alternatives are presented. Alternatives can take on many different forms. They can be alternative versions of Gemara. It can be two alternatives in understanding a question, and many other cases. But in all those cases, we attempt to use a squiggle underline to highlight the point at which an alternative is being presented. Here we have an alternative version. Iko di Amri, Omar Rav Yosef. The role of Rav Yosef, though, is similar to that which we saw above, in the sense that we attempted to bring a support to Ula from the case of the Osher Metzora, and suggest that you see from the way we treat or do not treat the Osher Metzora that Bia b'miksa shmo Bia. Rav Yosef is coming along to say that I'm not, Bia b'miksas is lo shmo Bia. That in and of itself would not have been a problem. If that's the case, so then why is it that the Osher Metzora is not treated with smicha? Amar Rav Yosef, kol hasomech roishoy veruboy machnis. In order to accomplish smicha, one has to do it with all of his weight, and that would only be accomplished if he would enter Rosho Verubo, his head, most of his body, and then place his hands on the animal's head. That is not Bio B'miksa, sorry. That's a full-fledged entrance. It's also pointed out that the first Rav Yosef established the case of the Osher Metzora as being authored by or according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Behuda, who gave a limited tzafon definition. This version, Rashi points out, can be understood according to Rebbe as well. According to Rebbe, who is one of the three opinions, we had Rabbi Yossi Behuda, there's Rebbe, and there's a third, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who has his opinion as to what constitutes legal tzafon. According to Rebbe, legal tzafon, in fact, includes all of the northern half of the Azara, up till, of course, the Beis HaChalifos of the Ulam, which is not part of our discussion right now. But his definition of tzafon would include the area at the point of the Shaar Nikanor where the Metzora is standing. So if the source above dealing with the Osher Metzora is according to this liberal or expansive definition of tzafon, you would have asked, why then doesn't the Metzora standing at the Shaar Nikanor, at the northern half of the Shaar Nikanor, put his hands on the animal's head, do the smicha there, and they can do the shechita there as well, and you would accomplish tekef l'smicha shechita? The answer is, and we just read it, because smicha involves not just a mere placing of hands on the animal's head, but it's a placing of hands with all of your, that's a forward body weight type action where you are leaning on the animal's head with your hands and your body weight. In order to accomplish that, you would have to have Rosho Verubo in the Azora. Not only your hands, but your head and most of your body in the Azora. That's not Bio B'miksas, that's called full-fledged entrance. That, of course, is prohibited for the Metzora before he's received the blood applications, which of course comes after the Shechita. So the Gemara goes on, my taima, why does the Somech need to have Rosh of Arubo for that? As we explained already, the Gemara now says, Kol, my taima, why is that? Kol koichoi bo'inan. We require his full strength for the smicha, for the placing of the hands. Hilkoch loy efshar. Therefore, there is no way for it to be accomplished on the part of the Metzora. We're talking about while the animal is still alive, and his full purification is not achieved until after the blood of this animal is applied to his thumbs. We have a semicolon, you can see in the Gemara, to give a sense of newness to that which follows. The Gemara's next question is a question focused back on the Tana above, the Tanaic source that was brought at the upper part of the page, where it said a rule that all smichos are tekef l'smicha shrita, with the exception of the Osher Metzora. The Gemara asks, my kosovar, what is the opinion of the Tana above that said chutz mizu with regard to the Osher Metzora? I kosovar smichas Osher Metzora d'oraisa, v'tekef l'smicha shchita d'oraisa. If he holds that the necessity or the smicha of the Osher is a Torah necessity, and the need for the immediacy of shchita following the smicha is a Torah requirement, Leol Velismoch Lehedyo Derachmona Omar. Then let the Metzora do whatever it takes to accomplish it, because the Torah is telling him to do it, even though a standard Tomei is not allowed to do it, but the Torah is addressing the Metzora in a special Metzora section, and he is telling the Metzora to do whatever is necessary. And if these are Torah requirements, so let him enter and do what he has to do. Why does the source say that all korbanos have tekef l'smicha shchita except for the osher metzora? Omar Rav Ado Bar Matono. You'll notice we have a double underline. This is one of our series markings. We have a mivneh accompanying this Gemara with a Roman numeral 1 and 2 in the Gemara on the side of the Gemara text and explained here under our mivneh heading. This refers to Shnei Lushonis Rav Ado Bar Matono. There will be two versions of Rav Ado Bar Matono. He comes to answer the question as to what is the opinion of the Tana above regarding these two issues of Smichas Osham and how to categorize Tekef L'Smicha Shchita. Omar Rav Ado Bar Matono. The first version says that basically both elements are Torah required. So then why doesn't he do it? Why does the source say chutz mizu? Gezeira shemo yarbe bepsios. There is a special ruling, a rabbinic imposed restriction that says he should not do it. He shouldn't enter and to do the smicha, because he may take an extra unnecessary step. He might walk too far in, and that's already not necessary for what the Torah requires, and that would be an outright violation of a tome in the Azorah. So we say better just don't do it so as not to stumble over a serious offense. Iko di Amri, another approach that is presented under the name of Ado Bar Matono. Omar Rav Ado Bar Matono, Smichas Osham Mitzora de Oraisa. That is true, that the Osham of a Mitzora needs Smicha. However, the Tekef the Smicha Shchita Lav de Oraisa. The idea of having Shchita following the Smicha immediately, that is not a Torah requirement. Therefore, in the source above, it said chutz mizu. The Tana was telling us that all korbanos have tekef l'smicha shchita, except for the case of the osham mitzora. Because the osham mitzora is done at the shar nikanor, and in order for the shchita to be done immediately After the smicha, that would not be possible. Continuing in the Gemara, Meisvei, v'somach v'shochat, ma smicha b'tahurin. Af shchita b'tahurin. This is a source that we saw was cited on the previous daf in our masechta on daf lamed beis. V'i amris lav de oraisa. If you're going to say that tekef l'smicha shchita is not a Torah requirement, how is this Tana so sure that smicha must be done by tahurim? B'tmeim nami mishkachas law. You could have a tomei doing the smicha, whereby he places his hands on the animal's head outside of the azara, and then others who are tahor bring the animal into the azara to the point at which it will be slaughtered. So by the fact that this source is so sure that smicha is done by Tahorim, it must be because Shechita is done immediately afterwards. Hence, Tekef L'smicha Shechita must be the Oraisa. Elo Epoch. Rather, we have a little number 2, by the way. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. This is to be contrasted with the little number 1 that was seen a few lines up. And you'll see how the statement now will be a reversal of that which was said above. Elo Epoch. Smichas Osham Mitzora Lav Doraisa. The Osham Mitzora is unlike other korbanos. It doesn't need smich at all. You'll ask, why is it treated differently? The answer to that is, it's not like other korbanos in the sense that the Osham Mitzora is not coming as an atonement. It's not coming as a kapora. It's coming as a machshir. It's an instrument through which the Mitzora is enabled to partake of kachim, of korbanos, of sacrifices. It's not coming as a means of atonement. Therefore, the fact that we treat the Osham Mitzora differently should come as no surprise. Therefore, we are going to say that Smichas Osham Mitzora is not Doraisa. V'tekef l'smicha shchita Doraisa. When Smicha is required, it's required to be done immediately before the Shchita. And since the Shchita is in the Azara, so too, the smicha is going to be in the Azara, and hence the smicha must be done by people that are tahor. The expression in the source above that said chutz mizu was a reference to the fact that the osham mitzora is different than other korbanos in that it does not have smicha. Ravina Omar. Le'inyan Malkois Itmar. This comment of Ravina is appreciated only on the heels of the Gemara of Lamed Beis Omid Beis, the Gemara that was not part of today's Shiur. On Daf Lamed Beis Omid Beis, Ula said in the name of Reish Lakish that Bia B'miktsas Shmo Bia. The Gemara, courtesy of Rav Hoshaya, raised an objection to Ula's presentation from the case of Mitzora. The case of Mitzora, of course, it was the case of Mitzora Shechal Shmini Shlo Berva Pesach that eventually became a Baal Keri. And from that entire discussion, the fact that we saw the Baal Keri, Tvuyon Baal Keri, sticking his hands into the Azara in order to achieve the Taharas Mitzora, it must be, this was Rav Hoshaya's claim, that Bia B'miktsas Lo Shma Bia. That was the that's a summary of what took place in the middle of Lamed Beis Amid Beis. In asking the question on Ula from the case of the Mitzora Shechal Shmini Shelo Be'erev Pesach, the raw keri, it seems that Reish Lakish had been featuring the idea that Bia B'miktsas Shma Bia and would result in a kores penalty. Hence, the Gemara raised a question from the Mitzora Shura Keri, where we saw that there was an allowance of Bia B'miktsas. Apparently, there is no kores problem. Ravina comes to say that Reish Lakish was not coming to tell us, was not coming to teach that Bia B'miktsas would result in kores at all. All Ula Omer Reish Lakish was trying to teach us on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis was that Bia B'miktsas would incur a penalty of Malkos. That being the case that he was teaching simply that Bia B'miktsas would involve a penalty of Malkos, would would then give, would present, would not present fertile ground for a question being raised from the case of Metzora. This Rashi says on the second line from the top. Let us see Rashi, Le'inyan Malkus Amra, Kedeka Omar, Loike Behedya. In fact, if you look back at the Gemara on Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, you will see that the word Loike was used explicitly, where Ulam Reish Lakish said, Tome Shichnis Yodoi Lifnim Loike. Loike means lashes. Avoloi Le'inyan Kores. The Toisvei mi Metzora Shura Keri. However, Ulam Reish Lakish never said that Bia B'Miktas would result in Kores, so as to give grounds for raising a question from the case of Metzora Shura Keri. The Chi Iskash Bia Linegia, when we compare entrance to touching, which was what the Gemara did on Lamed Beis Amid Beis, La'azhara iskish. It's compared only with regard to the lav. To the azhara is the Torah warning against doing something, the negative command. Negative command is something that, when violated, generally speaking, invokes a lashing penalty. So the Rashi is pointing out the chi iskish bia linegia, when the Torah made a comparison concerning entrance to the din of touching, la azhora iskish kedichtiv lo savo, avol oinish lo iskash de ein oinish binegia. But as far as a punishment is concerned, a punishment of kores, that was not what the Gemara or what the Torah was trying to accomplish, because for negia, for touching, for a tome to touch something that's tor, sacrifice of tor, that does not incur a penalty of kores. Continuing in the Gemara, ki asa ravin omar Rabbi Avo. Notice we have a house marking that appears to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, labeled Roman numeral number 2. This number 2 necessitates finding where there was a Roman numeral number 1. And in today's shir, which started at the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, from this point backwards, you won't find a Roman numeral number 1, because it was positioned on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. It was positioned next to Ula Amar Reish Lakish. Ula Amar Reish Lakish used a pasuk, the pasuk b'chol kodesh lo siga, as referring to the din of bia b'miktas. Ravin Amar Rabbi Avo says that Reish Lakish doesn't learn bia b'miktas from the pasuk of b'chol kodesh lo siga. Rather, he learns a different halacha from the pasuk of b'chol kodesh lo siga. Let's see this now in the Gemara. Ki also Ravin Amar Rabbi Avo, le'inyan tome shenoga b'kodesh itmar. The din of Reish Lakish concerns a tome, a person who is ritually impure, that touches a korban. That's what he derives from the pasuk of b'chol kodesh l'siga. And Reish Lakish was never talking about bia b'miktas. With this in mind, you can understand why we have the markings as we do. Ula represented the first approach to Reish Lakish's use of the pasuk b'chol kodesh l'siga, and Rabbi Avo represents a second approach, or a different approach, to Reish Lakish's use of the pasuk b'chol kodesh l'siga. We haven't seen this yet. This will come up in the Gemara. But by way of introduction, it's important to note that difference. And of course, all of this is contained in the Rashi as well. If we want to be just a bit more accurate, we should add what Rashi adds, the idea of Malkos. Reish Lakish, according to Ula's presentation, learned that there was Malkos, or if you want to focus it even more, in a more refined fashion, Ravina's interpretation of Reish Lakish was that there was Malkos for Bia B'miktas, based on the pasuk of B'chol Kodesh Lo Sigah. comes along Rabbi Avo to tell us that from the Pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga, there is Malkos for something else, namely for the case of Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have in front of us a rather elaborate structure that we will be able to make a lot easier by navigating with our markings. On the outside margin, you'll notice a Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a bow tie featured. The bow tie, you will notice as you scan down this page and onto Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, you'll notice three appearances of the bow tie. They're labeled here as Gimel, Machlokes, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan. Three Machlokesim between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. You will see a dashed underline. That's Hadgoshas Noisei HaMachlokes. We will be emphasizing the subjects of the Machlokos between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish with this marking. Number one is the case of Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh, and if you look in the Gemara, you can see on the third line from the top, that's dashed underline. The case of the ritually impure individual that touches a korban, sacrificed meat. Number two, Azhora Litomei She'ochal Bosor Kodesh. The second, dashed underline, which you can see also almost halfway down our Omid, features a machlokis concerning a Torah, a lav. Azhora is a reference to a lav, a Torah, a negative commandment in the Torah concerning a Tomei, a person who's Tomei that ate Basar Kodesh, that ate sacrificial meat, while he, the eater, was Tomei. And on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, the third Machlokas appears concerning Tomei She'ochal Basar Kodesh Lefnei Zrika. A person was Tomei who ate sacrificial meat before Zrikas Adam, before the sprinkling of the blood. In general, one should know that sacrificial meat is not allowed to be consumed until the sprinkling of the blood takes place. In addition to these markings, we have a double underline, and you'll see that repeated time and time again. That is under the same pasuk each time, Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. Now, the gist of this Gemara is that the very same pasuk, Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga, seems to be used for different things, and that gives rise to the development of this Gemara. At each point, the Gemara will present a machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish will say that he learns his din from the pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. The Gemara will then ask, but is this really what Reish Lakish is learning from Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga? Does he not learn something else? You tell me he learns number one, does he not learn number two? And after telling me that he learns number two, the Gemara will ask, does he not learn number three? So we will have to discover where Reish Lakish really learns these different halachos from. So each time, the Gemara in our markings will double underline the citation of the pasuk Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. In addition, we will see later on the Amid the use of triangles as a method of keeping track of the back and forth nature of the discussion. As a result of the singular nature of this discussion, it will necessitate us to spill over a bit onto the top of Daf Lamed Dalid Amud Aleph in order to complete the issue at hand of how Reish Lakish uses the pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. With all that being said, let's now continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Avo told us that Reish Lakish learns Malkos for Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh from the pasuk of Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga, and not for Malkos for Bia B'Miksas like Ula claimed. The Itmar. Just to review, the bow tie is the point at which the Gemara presents the beginning of the machlokis between machlokis in between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan on different topics. The Itmar, it was stated, Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh, a person was Tomei who touched korbanos. Reish Lakish Amar Loke. Reish Lakish says that he deserves lashings. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Loke. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Loke, he says that there is lashing for this. Behol Kodesh Lo Siga. The lo is a negative command, and in general, when one violates negative commands of the Torah, that incurs a penalty of lashing. So it says Behol Kodesh, regarding all types of sacrifices, a tome person, lo siga, should not touch. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Eino Loke. Hahu betruma ksiv. He says that pasuk is not talking about sacrifices at all. It's talking about truma, the tithe from produce that's given to Kohanim. We now have a triangle, and we noted on the side under our mivneh, under our note on the side, that this triangle represents a ma'akav, the need to keep track of a discussion, with the point facing up, kushios, with the point facing down, shuvos. Hagemara menaseh levarer ma dorish reish lokish me'aposik b'chol kodesh lo siga. The Gemara will be trying to figure out what reish lokish really uses this pasuk of b'chol kodesh lo siga. What does he use it for? So here the Gemara asks, for reish lokish hai kroh lohochi hu da'asa. Does reish lokish use this pasuk really for this point, namely for tomei shenoga b'kodesh? Hi, mi boyale, he needs it for azhara le'ochel basar kodesh. He needs it to serve as a source of a warning, a Torah warning, an azhara concerning a person who was tomei tumasaguf, personally tomei, who ate a korban, who ate a sacrifice while he himself was tomei. The itmar. Azhora le'ochel basar kodesh minayin. Where in the Torah is there a Torah warning, a negative command concerning a tomei individual from consuming sacrificial meat? Reish Lakish Amar, you want to know what the source of that is? B'chol kodesh lo siga. There's our pasuk. And here is our problem. Is it not so that before it was suggested that b'chol kodesh lo siga was used to teach me something else, which was dashed, underlined above? You notice, third line from the top, it was used for Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh. This is a problem. We have a bracketed section. We'll skip it initially. Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh, which was the first halacha, we call this Aleph. It represents the halacha taught at the upper part of the page. That point of Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh as being Chayev in Malkus, according to Reish Lakish, Mida afka rachmona boloshon negia, from the fact that the pasuk chose the word lo siga, it used the word touching in it. So from the fact that the pasuk, albeit may be in fact used concerning a person who is tomei tumas haguf, should not eat, that's the word achila, should not eat from it. But what word did the Torah use when it's talking about a warning against eating? It used an unusual word. It used lo siga. So from the fact that the Torah went out of its way to use an unusual word, we have license to derive an extra point of law. And so from the fact that the Torah used the word negia, we are able to derive tomei shenoga b'kodesh is b'malkis. Now, azhora le'ochel, the negative command concerning eating basar kodesh while being in a state of tumas haguf, that is midi iskish kodesh lemikdash. The same pasuk that says, that we cited, that we've double underlined, behold kodesh lo siga, also said, and we saw this quoted on Daf Lamed Beis Omid Beis, thanks to that which we wrote in, it said B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga on the upper quarter of the page, Ve'el Hamikdosh Lo Saba. That's the continuation of the pasuk. So in that pasuk, it said B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga. Kodesh is a reference to the korbanos. And it says also, Ve'al Mikdash Lo Sovo, don't enter the Beis HaMikdash. So from the fact that the Kodesh, which is a reference to the sacrifices themselves, is compared to the issue of entering, we know that entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah is covered by an Azhara. So too, the issue of eating of sacrificial meat while Tameh is covered by an Azhara. Let's go over the Gemara again. We skipped a bracketed section, and the reason for that is, and it's indicated on the side under our starred note, you'll see in the inside margin a little star. Tam l'sograyim kedei l'makeid es halimud b'divrei Reish Lakish. We're trying to focus this discussion on Reish Lakish. That which appears in the brackets introduces Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, which is, for as far as this sugya is concerned, a side point. So going over the Gemara, we'll start from the bow tie at the beginning of line, the second bow tie. It said, "Itmar azhora le'ochel basar kodesh minayin." From where do we know that the Torah warns against someone who is tomei from eating basar kodesh, sacrificial meat? Reish Lakish omar b'chol kodesh lo siga. Rabbi Yochanan omar toni. Bardala is the name of a scholar. Bardala teaches, Asya tum osoi mi bias mikdash. Through a gezera shava involving the word tuma, he learns this azhara. Ma lahalon onash vihiz here. Just like in the case of entering the Beis HaMikdash while tome, the Torah has an azhara as well as presenting an oinesh, as a result, as well as presenting a punishment. Afkan, with regard to tome, sho'ochal basar kodesh, onash vihiz here. The Torah presents there's a punishment for it, as well as an azhara. It might be noted, by the way, that in general, Torah, in general, court-ordained punishments, things like either death penalties or lashings, cannot be issued, cannot be based on a singular pasuk in the Torah. In addition to a source for the oinish, there also has to be another pasuk or a separate negative command, which is termed azhora. So that's why there is an interest on the part of this teaching of Rabbi Yochanan to say that just like in the case of entrance to Mikdash in a state of Tumah, there is an Oinish and an Azhara, so too in the case of Tomei Shochal Basar Kodesh, there is understood, in addition to the Oinish, there is understood an Azhara. The Gemara then asks, and we read this section of Gemara, but we'll read it again now. Tomei, this is an answer to the question. The question had been, truth is, we should also just note that we have a long question marking, beginning from the point where the Reish Lakish's name was in a triangle with the point facing up. That question essentially goes till this point in the Gemara, at which point we now have an answer. The question had been, does Reish Lakish really use B'chol Kodesh L'Siga for Tomei Shenaga B'Kodesh, when we see he seems to use it for Azhora L'Oichol B'Sar Kodesh? So to that, the Gemara answers, Tomei Shenaga B'Kodesh, the first halacha is Mida Afka Rachmona B'Losha Negia, from the fact that the Torah chose a special word, Negia, that clues me into that teaching, that Tomei, a person is Tomei, should not touch sacrificial meat. The second halacha, Azhora le'oichel, that's mide iskish kodesh le'mikdash. That's from the fact that the issue concerning sacrificial meat is compared to the issue or the halacha concerning entering the Beis HaMikdash. Just like entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah is Asur, so too eating of sacrificial meat while in a state of Tumah is under the Azhora. Tanya Kavose de Reish Lakish. We have a Tanaic source supporting Reish Lakish. What does that mean? It means that we saw Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish above concerning Azhora for an Oichel Basar Kodesh. Where is that learned from? We'll have a Tanaic source that uses the pasuk of B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga to accomplish that point. B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga, Azhora Lo Ochel. Ata oimer azhor le'oichel eino elo lenogea. Maybe this pasuk is a lav concerning touching. Talmud lomar b'chol kodesh lo siga ve'el hamikdash lo yisavoy. Makish kodesh lemikdash. The pasuk compares the issue concerning the sacrificial meat to the issue concerning entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. Ma Mikdash Dover Shiesh Boy Netilas Neshama. Just like the entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah involves Kores, Af Kodesh, so too the issue surrounding the Korbonos, Dover Shiesh Boy Netilas Neshama, is a matter that incurs Kores. V'i benogea, if one were to think that the posuk is limited to the issue of touching, netilas neshama mi'ika, there is no precedent for a tome touching something that would generate a kores punishment. Elo be'achila. Rather, this posuk is also relevant to the issue of eating, as we saw in the second halacha featured in the middle of the Omid, that b'chol kodesh lo siga serves as an azhora le'oichel b'sar kodesh. The Gemara asks, v'akati, but still, miboyale le'tomei shocha b'sar kodesh lifnei zrika. This is a new halacha. Someone who is tomei is prohibited from eating sacrificial meat even before Zrikas Adam. Let us say that after Zrikas Adam, it's more obvious. That's the primary prohibition of eating sacrificial meat by on the part of a tamei when it's able to be eaten. This halacha goes a little further and says that the tamei is warned against eating the korban meat even before the Zrikas Adam. The Itmar, Tomei Sha'ocha Basar Kodesh Lifnei Zrika. Reish Lakish Amar Loike, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Loike. Reish Lakish Amar Loike, Reish Lakish says there are lashes, and notice, what's his source? B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga. The Pasuk says that all sacrificial meat, Lo Siga, you should have should not consume it. Lo Shna Lifnei Zrika, V'lo Shna L'Acha Zrika. No difference whether it's before Zrika, nor after Zrika. In other words, just like after Zrika, it's certainly prohibited, so too before Zrika, there is a problem. Not only is there a basic problem of eating sacrificial meat before it's mutter to eat, namely before Zrika, but there's an additional problem of tuma. That's the chiddush of this particular Gemara. Once again, there's a bracketed section featuring Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, but as we noted earlier, the gist of the thrust of the Gemara is surrounding Reish Lakish. Hence, we're trying to show that this is more of a side point with regard to the flow of the Gemara. The question is raised that how can you tell us that Reish Lakish uses B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga for that which was mentioned earlier when we see that he uses it for this new thing called Tomei Shocha B'sar Kodesh Lifnei Zrika? If we skip the brackets for a moment, the Gemara answers, Im Kain Lema Kra B'Kodesh. If the Pasuk was not addressing this issue of Tomei Shocha B'sar Kodesh Lifnei Zrika, the Pasuk could have said simply, B'kodesh lo siga, my b'chol kodesh. What is gained by using the word b'chol, a rather inclusive expression? Shma mino tarti. It's therefore coming to teach us two things. In other words, not only that which we learned before, but this halacha as well. Tomei shocha b'sar kodesh, even lifnei zrika. We had a bracketed section that we want to go over. The issue concerned Tomei Shocha B'sar Kodesh before Zrikas Adam. Reish Lakish said there's Malkus, and Rabbi Yochanan says there's no Malkus. Reish Lakish said that there is Malkus based on this lav, B'chol Kodesh Loi Siga. This is a negative command, and as we've said before, negative commands, generally speaking, generate Malkus. In the brackets, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Einoi Loike. Kidetoni Bardala. There is no Malkus. Based on the teaching of Bardala, Asyo tum osoi tum oso. Because the halacha of consuming korban meat is accompanied by a word comparison. V'chikosav hahu, when the word tumaso appears, it appears la'achar zrika. It appears only after zrikas hadam was done. Rashi, on the second line from the top, says, Asyo tumaso tumasoi, azhoras tomei shelo yochal kodesh, which was what we saw on the previous omen in the middle, the Torah negative command concerning a tomei eating korbanos, is Almo, Rashi says, azhoras tomei shelo yochal kodesh, Almo azhoroso me oncho yalfo. The azhor is learned from the oinish. The oinshoi la'achar zrikahu, the oinish, the penalty incurred by tomei eating korbanos, is stated concerning meat that had the zrikas adam already done. The loy lifnei zrika, kide katoni ba'gemora dehakoimetz rabo, as the Gemara in Menachos teaches. And Rashi goes on to share that teaching. For our purposes, though, we see the basis of the machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish says that there is malchus for the consumption of meat before Zrika, and Rabbi Yochanan says there is no malchus. The question then had been, how can Reish Lakish use the same pasuk for that which was stated earlier, and when we see him using the pasuk for this? So the Gemara answered, it's based on the fact that the pasuk says b'chol kodesh, that comes to be inclusive, namely not only an azhara for tomei eating meat after zrika, which was what was the subject of the Gemara earlier, the number two halacha, but the b'chol is inclusive of even meat before zrika comes under this warning for a tomei not to eat of it. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.